Happy Halloween, everybody, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris. I'm your host, your podcast pal, and I'm here today on Halloween. It is an unseasonably warm Halloween. I am literally sweating because it is so hot outside. I can't believe it. And of course, when you're recording a podcast indoors, you have to turn the air and the fans and everything like that off so that the super powerful microphones don't pick it all up and make it sound like you're recording inside a beehive or something. But here we are. It's Halloween. I'm still very much in the spirit, even though I was sick when most of the Halloween parties were going on over the weekend. Here it's Monday. It's actually Halloween, October 31st. I want to be in the spirit of the thing, and I wanted to record a special Halloween episode because I can have the opportunity to, and why not? That seems like a fun thing to do, right? So to try to be in the spirit, there's Halloween accoutrement everywhere. I've got a spooky scented candle from Bath and Body Works that's some kind of, it's got ghosts on it. I don't know what it's supposed to smell like. I don't think ghosts are supposed to smell quite as sweet and fragrant as this candle smells. But the fact that it's got ghosts on it made me think that I want to light it and just try to get into the spooky spirit of things. So I've got the lights all turned down low, even though it is still technically daytime out, but trying to get into the Halloween spirit now that I'm not sick and I'm feeling better. But of course, there's nothing Halloween going on for me to dress up or go do, and it would be pretty weird for me to just go out trick-or-treating. So, you know, I just thought, why not do a spooky podcast episode and talk about Halloween, answer some of your questions, and also kind of roll in some other things and do a sort of a pseudo comics rule everything around me episode as well, because I've certainly got some comics to talk about that I've been reading. And for this episode, I actually did some special reading of some spooky, monstery, Halloween-type comics. So, you know, I hope you guys had good Halloween weekend. I hope you're having a good Halloween when you hear this. Obviously, the idea is that it'll go out here in just a little bit. I'll try to get it edited all together and out for everyone to listen to on Halloween, and hopefully that'll be fun. I don't have a ton planned for it, so I don't know how long this will be, and I don't know how it's going to go. You never know when I'm just, sometimes when I, you know, when you're doing an episode with somebody else and you think that it's going to be just a quick little episode, you know, you're just going to ask some questions, going to be like 20 or 30 minutes, and then it turns into an hour and a half because you're having fun and you just realize you have a lot to talk about. And then sometimes when you're just talking to a microphone by yourself, you don't know where it's going to go or what's going to happen or what questions people are going to ask on Twitter, or, you know, you never know how it's going to go. But I hope you guys are having a happy Halloween, and I hope that this is fun, and I am excited that I get to share a little bit of the Halloween spirit with you, because as everyone knows, Halloween is the most wonderful time of the year, and that's certainly how I feel. Have not gotten to watch nearly as much Halloween-related stuff as I would have liked this year. But I think we all know that that's because a lot of my leisure time watching is taken up with watching Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And, you know, but there are some monsters and some sorcerers and some witchy people in that. So that's kind of Halloween-y. But I've also been watching, you know, trying to fit in other scary movies where I could. And, you know, it's certainly, I love scary movies, and I love, and even scary movies that aren't actually scary, like older stuff that's just kind of, not silly, but, you know, stuff that's, stuff that just has like a spooky feel to it that's maybe not quite as scary to us today as it was back then, or maybe it was never scary, but just stuff with monsters and spooky stuff, that's all fun to me. And, you know, since we talk about movies on here, which is a thing that we love, or a thing that I love, I assume that it's a thing that other people love, you know, we can talk about that too. And, you know, and then eventually we'll answer some questions and have some fun. I feel like I'm still all just completely in the intro part of this. And at any time it could threaten to break out into the actual show. But I don't know, since there's no one here to like really feel when the change happens, I don't know. So we'll just see how it goes. And every time I do one of these episodes where it's just me talking, I feel like that's what happens, is I feel a little confused and strange, and say we'll see how it goes, and then eventually we do. Eventually we see how it goes. And by all means, guys, if the episodes where it's just me talking to myself are absolutely unlistenable to you guys, if you hate it, let me know, and then I will know never to do those again, or to try harder at them, you know, try to figure out some way to make them better. Or if you like them, by all means, tell me that. It's good to get feedback, you know, any which way. And you can do that. You can tweet at me at the Chris Haley on Twitter. You can tweet at the show at KICTM Podcast, or you can email the show at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. And for those of you that do tweet at the show and that send emails and things like that, I completely appreciate it. And I thank you guys for your feedback. You can also, you know, you can leave reviews on iTunes. If you've got bad feedback, though, don't leave those on iTunes. Just save that for like an email or something, and then I'll try to fix it. So let's see. Let's take a look. I'm going to look on letterboxd.com/TheChrisHaley, which is where I keep track of all the movies I've been watching, except for Mortal Kombat Annihilation. For a while, I was keeping track of every night I watched Mortal Kombat Annihilation on there, and then I just got tired of doing it because I was already doing it on Twitter and like Instagram, and it's like, people get it. People know that I am still watching this awful movie, and every now and then on Letterboxd, I'll just check back in and go, all right, it's night 100 and whatever, 200 and whatever. But let's look at some of the spooky movies I've been watching lately. Just last night I watched Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which, if you guys are fans of the Halloween movie series, or it seems like people's opinions on this movie are very mixed, but I don't see how they can be, because that movie is so good. I think the only problem that movie has is that Michael Myers isn't in it. And people thought going to see Halloween 3, there'd be more Michael Myers, even though he surely seemed very dead at the end of Halloween 2. For my money, Halloween 3 is the only other movie in the Halloween series worth seeing if you really just want to see a good movie. I mean, I'll watch any of the Halloween movies, basically, because good grief, I'll watch such garbage. But and the Halloween movies, most of them aren't the kind of, they aren't garbage. I mean, some of them are not good, and then some of them are kind of bad, but they're all at least movies. And some of the stuff that I watch that is awful horror movies are just straight up garbage shot on a camcorder or something. And some of those are even fun. But Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, if that movie had just come out, well, of course, like when it came out, there was a whole to do with people being mad because there was no Michael Myers, even though it was called Halloween 3. And if you haven't seen the movie, spoilers, Michael Myers is not in it. It's a completely different story, just a whole different thing, because they wanted the movies to be like an anthology series, if you don't know. And if you do know, I'm sorry you're having to hear stuff you already know. Or, you know, it's even possible that I'm getting something wrong. And by all means, you can write in and tell me if I got anything wrong, because it's bound to happen on here sooner or later. But the movies, John Carpenter and the people behind Halloween wanted to make it a, they didn't want to do any more Michael Myers. They just wanted to have a movie series called Halloween. And each time it could be like a new, something spooky, scary story, which would have been great, because I feel like you really get kind of diminishing returns on bringing the same bad guy who's every one of the, I feel like Michael Myers gets diminished by all of the Halloween movies, you know, each one sort of diminishes him more. But Halloween is my favorite horror movie by far. So, but I think that Halloween 3 was a great idea to just do something that's completely different. And if the movie had just been called Season of the Witch, I don't think it probably wouldn't have been as, I don't know. I think it would probably just be looked at as that was a good 80s movie that came out about a spooky Halloween movie. But because it was Halloween 3, I think that it really kind of, you know, that just put it in a bad place. But it's a great movie. I'm not going to get all the way into it because I've watched a ton of spooky movies lately, and there's no point in, you know, you should just see it. There's all I could say is you should see it if you haven't. because it's great. And just be prepared for the Silver Shamrock theme song to be stuck in your head for the rest of your life. And that was just, yeah, that was last night I watched that. And then the night before that, I watched Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, which, and speaking of third movies, Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, is considered the official, unofficial third Creepshow movie, because a lot of the same people who made the first two Creepshow movies were involved in making it. And I don't know all the reason why they didn't just call it Creepshow 3. And then many years later, there was a Creepshow 3 made. But Tales from the Dark Side is an anthology movie where there's a bunch of... it's like you've got a series of spooky stories that this little boy is telling. And Creepshow was the same kind of thing, where it was an anthology of, you know, little short films. And I love those kind of things, like the VHS series and Creepshow and just... any of those ones, and I'm trying to think. There's some others I feel like more recently that have done an anthology of spooky stuff. There's three VHS movies also, speaking of trilogies. this is going to be the most just completely rambling, and I feel like even more nervous because it's hot in here, which makes me feel like the fact that I am sweating makes it feel like this is even more nerve-wracking. Like, oh my gosh. You're doing a terrible job. Look at how much you're sweating. People can see that you're sweating. And it feels like there's an audience here, even though there isn't. Unless you count all of the creepy ghosts and Halloween decorations that are looking at me. Oh, man. And I should really post a picture of some of these, all the different Halloween things that are here in the house looking at me. So maybe I'll do that also. All right. That's a good thing to do. but Tales from the Dark Side, I don't think it's quite as good as the first Creepshow. And I don't think the second Creepshow is as good as the first Creepshow. But Tales from the Dark Side's got some good stuff in it. And it's got a lot of famous people in it. Like, it's Julianne Moore's first movie. Steve Buscemi's in it. Christian Slater. There's some others that I'm forgetting. Oh, James Remar is in it, of course. How could I possibly forget? James Remar is in it, who, of course, is... I'd seen the movie before, but I'd completely forgotten that he was in it. And so I watched Mortal Kombat Annihilation the other night, and after it was over, I was like, okay, now what's something fun I can watch? And I decided to watch Tales from the Dark Side, and then James Remar shows up in it. And I was like, wow, this guy has just been in a million movies. And I keep watching them by accident. And Tales from the Dark Side is maybe, I don't know. I don't, young listeners, you might not be able to watch any of these movies I'm talking about. These might all be PG-13, if not R. If for language alone, maybe. But there's definitely some blood and scary monsters and such adult situations in some of these. So maybe this was a terrible idea. I don't know how many young listeners I have anymore. I know back on the Gosper, we certainly had a lot of young listeners. And I know that there is at least one, I do have at least one 15-year-old listener of the new show because he wrote me an email. And I really appreciated that at the end of the email, he kept to the old Gosper format of telling me his name and his age so that I would know how to interpret his letter. And I'll probably read that letter on here sometime because it's a great letter and it was a lot of fun. Completely off track. See, this is why it's bad when it's just me. It's because I have no way of keeping myself on track. I just go down these little avenues and wander around, see what's happening, talk about things as I'm looking at them. But anyway, Tales from the Dark Side, the movie. It's fun. I also watched Day of the Dead. I started to say the original Day of the Dead, but I don't know if they've made another one, like if they've done a remake like they did of Dawn of the Dead. I know that they did a sequel to Day of the Dead called Day of the Dead 2 Contagium, which I don't think is a real word. Contagion is a real word, but contagium, look it up. I don't think it's a real word. I feel like I haven't watched it, but I've heard that it was terrible and it was made many years later and has basically nothing to do with the original Day of the Dead or George Romero's other movies. The only thing it has in common is that there's zombies in it. But I watched that, and I hadn't watched that in forever, and it was great. I wanted to watch Dawn of the Dead, the original one, but I thought I had it, but then I couldn't find it anywhere. And then I was like, oh, maybe I don't have it. Maybe I should go look online to try to buy it, since that seems like a movie I should have. And for some reason, it is out of print, and it's a bajillion dollars. So I had to settle for Day of the Dead instead. But it was very good, and I hadn't seen it in a while, so it was a fun rewatch. I think all of George Romero's original of the Dead movies. Well, I guess the first one's Night of the Living Dead, and then Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, are worth seeing if you haven't seen them, if you are into zombies at all. All three are very different movies, but, and you know, he's clearly kind of trying to tell different stories with each of them, but all very interesting, and interesting just to watch on a, I don't know, like on a horror movie, historical level, like as you can study them kind of for, oh, this is, this is what he's doing in this one, or this is what this one means. I don't know, guys. Sometimes you just watch these things and go, all right, that was good. And I don't have anything smarter to say about it. But yeah, I'm embarrassed for how terrible this is probably going to be, but you know, it's still kind of funny to me, and so hopefully it'll be funny to you. Even if you guys feel like this episode is terrible, I hope that like many of the terrible movies that I watch and still have a good time watching, I hope that you'll be able to listen to this and go, man, this is awful, but it's so awful. It's kind of funny to me. So I'm having a good time. Last week, I also watched Carnival of Souls at the Riff Tracks Live. They did of that. And that's a movie that is like, you know, really highly regarded by some people. It's in the Criterion Collection, but I'm very confused as to why, because I mean, maybe there's a historical importance to it that I'm not aware of. And I'm sure that there's, you know, people I know who know more about this that could explain it to me, or probably have, you know, maybe even written things about it. But I think that was the first time I was ever able to like make it all the way through the movie without falling asleep, because there's just big stretches of nothing happening and like really just droning organ music. Organ music is a real big... If you haven't seen it, organ music plays very heavily into the whole movie, and it's just nonstop. And there's no way to tell the difference between the good organ music and the bad organ music in it. It feels like the kind of thing where like they couldn't get the rights to any actual songs, and so they're just playing weird organ music that kind of sounds like something. But there's a part where the main character in the movie is this woman who is a professional organ player, and she gets a job in a church, and she's trying the organ out, and it's like, oh, okay, this sounds great or whatever. And she's playing something on the organ, some kind of song on the organ. And you're like, okay, so everyone seems to think that sounds good. And then later she has like a fit where she's playing some kind of evil organ music on the church organ. And the preacher or minister, pastor, whatever, he comes in and he just yanks her hands off the organ and tells her to get out, that she's playing devil music. And it doesn't sound any different. I couldn't understand, like, how do you discern the difference between good godly organ music and devil organ music? Cause it all sounded exactly the same to me. Maybe some of you are organ players or like have a real ear for, organ music or some kind of organ music experts and can explain it to me, but I certainly couldn't tell the difference. And, so yeah, I don't know. But the whole experience was fun because, April and I and a bunch of other, people went and saw it in a nice packed theater full of people laughing at the Riff Tracks, fellas making jokes. And so it was a lot of fun. And then after, we went and got donuts at, Gibson's Donuts here in Memphis, Tennessee. And if you ever come to Memphis, you certainly have to go to Gibson's Donuts because, man, they're great. I know that there are, there's going to be at least one local person listening to this, who is not a fan, but, she's crazy, because they're great. And, that's all I'm going to say about that. So take that, Jess. I also watched, last week I watched Trick or Treat, which there's a, that's another one of the anthology movies. Trick apostrophe R Treat came out more recently. And that's one I love. That's another great horror movie. And it's fun and still spooky and like a little bit scary. That's an anthology movie. But that one's from like 2009, somewhere in there, I think. But there's an older movie from the 80s called Trick or Treat. And it's basically like the Halloween heavy metal Freddy Krueger kind of supernatural slasher movie with a rock and roll theme. It's got Gene Simmons from Kiss and Ozzy Osbourne in it as, you know, playing characters, not playing themselves. Like Ozzy Osbourne is playing some kind of, I think he's playing some kind of preacher that's crusading against, rock and roll music. And it, you know, saying that like heavy metal and rock and roll is from the devil. And then Gene Simmons is like a disc jockey on the radio, a disc jockey. That's what DJ stands for, kids. Why did I say disc jockey? Oh man. he's a radio DJ. That the main kid or the main character who is this high school kid is friends with. And, man, if you can find that movie, it is bonkers. And it's so awesome though. It's a movie, like, I absolutely loved it because there's all kinds of like, there's heavy metal music and stuff in it. 80s, you know, hair metal and Judas Priest and, you know, that kind of stuff in it, which is music that I am totally into. But it's just, it's a, the movie is just like so full of crazy ideas. And I think it's really well done. I mean, it's clearly not like a super expensive movie and you can tell what they were going for, that they were trying to do sort of like a, oh, this Freddy Krueger is really popular. Like these, and these serial killer, not serial killer, like, you know, slasher movies with like, with some kind of killer that can't be stopped and has got some kind of thing, you know, Jason's got the hockey mask or, what, you know, and Freddy's deal was that he kind of comes to you in your dreams and he's got dream powers or whatever. And this is like a guy who he was this big rock star and then he accidentally kills himself. But then he comes back when this record is played backwards and he's helping this guy who's his biggest fan. And it's just, man, it's just full of bonkers stuff. And if you can find it, it's probably like cheap on one of those. I got like a cheap DVD of it a long time ago, but had never gotten around to watching it. It had just gotten put somewhere. And then, but I'm sure it's on one of those like cheap DVD sets you can get somewhere, off Amazon or something, but man, it's so awesome. And this is definitely going to be one of these movies that I want to watch like every Halloween season now. Can't recommend it enough. If you're into 80s supernatural horror movies that aren't actually very scary and have like cool special effects and 80s rock music and, like monsters and, just, and it is funny also. I mean, it's like kind of oddly, it's got a weird sense of humor about it. Just, it was great. It felt very much right up my alley. And I'm sorry that I wish I had known about it sooner. I wish I'd watched it sooner. Another one sort of in that same vein, but not nearly as good that I watched last week was 976 Evil 2. Which for some reason they made a second one. And I've never seen the first one, but the second one feels like it kind of gives you a good idea of what happened in the first one. And it's another one of these movies where there's something that the devil is working through this, or somebody, I don't know, some kind of evil force is working through this, this telephone number that you can call, that people find this business card with the phone number on it that says to call for your horoscope. And then it gives them powers and makes evil things happen. I don't know. It's pretty goofy, but it was also pretty neat. I enjoyed it. Man, I'm just realizing how many horror movies I've watched recently. I didn't think it was quite as many as all this, but here we go. I've watched quite a few. So that makes me feel a little better about my October month. I always try to do that thing when we're coming up on October, I always say I want to try to watch a different horror movie every night or day or whatever of October. And just, you know, and so I watch 31 horror movies and I'm never able to do it. I get close sometimes, you know, or I try my best, but it never works out. I've never, same deal with Inktober. I've tried to do that sometimes and it's just like, I'll get like a little bit in or then I'll get behind and it's just like, forget it. And I didn't do 31 this year, but I also didn't, I was like, I'm already doing this Mortal Kombat thing. I'm not going to try to put that on myself, but, by not kind of giving myself the rule of saying, oh, I want to try to do that. I think, maybe I freed myself up to just let it happen a little more naturally. I didn't get 31, but I got a lot in. So, you know, that's something. And I did watch They Live twice. So that's something. Obviously They Live is on the list and I did watch it twice, but if you have not seen They Live, I'm not even going to talk about it. They Live is like the perfect intersection of interests for me. Cause it's like horror movie, John Carpenter horror movie, wrestler, just so great. I cannot possibly say enough that if you haven't seen They Live, you totally should. And then you could follow it up if you want to with another Roddy Piper movie that is called Immortal Kombat. That's another action movie he did at some point after They Live. And I have to imagine, I don't know if it was originally called Immortal Kombat. It seems like the kind of thing like it might have originally been called something else. And then they changed the name when Mortal Kombat came out and was like a big hit. And they changed it to Immortal Kombat. And one of the guys from Mortal Kombat Annihilation is in Immortal Kombat also, maybe more than one. I don't know. Maybe some of the stunt people were also, I haven't looked at the crossover, but I just recognized the guy that I think it was the guy that plays Mataro, who, man, apparently is just popping up in a lot of stuff here lately. That's another one. If you can find it, it's like a real, it's a low budget B movie action, super soldier fighting, shooting, kung fu, kind of movie. Oh, but I think Sonny Chiba, was he who was in it too? Pretty sure Sonny Chiba, if I remember, I was kind of almost falling asleep as I was watching it. I'm pretty sure Sonny Chiba is also in it and he's awesome. So, so maybe check that out after you watch They Live. Or maybe you've already seen it. I don't know. You guys have to tell me. Also watch these. I'll do these last. These will be the last two. And I mentioned these last two because I got them both on the same like little $5 DVD set at Walmart that had 8 movies on it. And all 8 of the movies on it so far, all of the ones that I've seen out of the 8 that I've watched so far have been awesome. But I also watched Slaughter High and Chopping Mall. And both of those, I won't get into them too much. They do both involve, not both of them, but they are both set in the 80s and they're great, like crazy bonkers horror movies in that kind of 80s vein where one takes place at a mall and then one takes place at a high school and then like a high school reunion. And they both kind of have a gimmick that I won't, two different gimmicks, but gimmicks that I won't give away. Nope. Completely lost my train of thought. They're both fun though, if you want to watch those. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about some of the comics that I read in preparation for this episode. And I wanted to do a whole comics rule everything around me about some of these spooky Halloween comics that I read, but I don't think that I read enough to really get in depth about them to do like a whole episode by myself. If I had someone else here to talk about these particular issues with, it'd probably go a little better. But so here's the problem. I did a ton of homework on an episode for an episode of Comics Rule Everything Around Me that I was planning and I still want to do because I roped someone else. I roped someone else into reading these comics also. And so he also had to do a ton of homework. The problem is the comics that we were reading were Savage Dragon. And as you may or may not know, if you pay attention to stuff that happens in the comics world on Twitter and such, Eric Larson, who is the guy that wrote and drew and created Savage Dragon, recently said some things that were just like real at best, there's stuff that makes you kind of roll your eyes and just go like, oh geez. And at worst, there are things that are like, this is not, you're definitely on the wrong side of this and you are coming off like a jerk or a bad person. And so it makes it a little dicey to me to like want to talk about his stuff. But at the same time, the comics that I'm wanting to talk about, you know, are like 20 years old. And some of the stuff that's in them is actually still like relevant to other social things that are happening, that are still happening now. And it's crazy to think that like, oh, this stuff was happening then. And you know, enough for a comic to comment on it back then. And then it's still happening now. And you're just like, man, you feel like things, you know, history has progressed and society has gotten better and things have gotten better. And you go, oh man, some of these problems are still here and haven't changed at all. So I feel like there's some important stuff in there. And there's some fun stuff in there, regardless, outside of his, you know, stuff he's saying now. I feel like, and also I feel like the person he was then would probably be arguing with the person he is now, maybe. I don't know. But so I did like a ton of homework on that. And then it's felt a little weird to try to do the episode. So I'm probably going to hold off on that for a little bit. But thank you, Matt, for doing the homework with me. And we will still talk about, or maybe we'll just get together and talk about some other comics. I don't know. Maybe we'll get together and talk about how much you love Mark Bagley's Spider-Man. But so that's why there hasn't been a new episode of that, is because we planned on doing that. And then when that stuff started happening, and it took us both a little while to kind of do the homework because I gave us quite a lot of homework to read. So hopefully we'll still get to do that and it'll be fun. But so I had to do that's to explain why there hasn't been an episode of that. And basically there wasn't anything else for me to talk about because those were the only comics I was reading. Like any of my comic reading time was going to reading those Savage Dragon comics. And I didn't want to talk about those until we could do the episode. But then to do this, I was like, oh, let me read some spooky comics. So I read Marvel Zombies and then Marvel Zombies 2, not the whole first mini series of those two, which those are the two that Robert Kirkman wrote. And then after that, maybe I'll save that. After that, other people started writing, like Fred Van Lente. And that's a whole other thing. We can get into those some other time, maybe. But I read the first two that Robert Kirkman wrote. And they're weird because to me, they are enjoyable. And I do find myself liking them, but I also don't like seeing like crazy violence in superhero comics. And so it's like, it's a real fine, you know, it's like a real tightrope they walk of being good or bad or like offensive or bothering me or liking them. I don't know. There's something about, he puts some kind of little bit of some kind of touch of humor into them. That's, you know, and sometimes it's really obvious where he'll put stuff in that kind of breaks the gruesomeness of the scene you're beholding. Sometimes it's really obvious and then sometimes it's really subtle, but it just, for whatever reason, you know, how he works it in there, I think it is what manages to make it palatable and not just like grotesque and awful. I mean, and it's not like I don't like zombie comics just on their own, but having that kind of like, I mean, cause they're definitely like really just gruesome. Sean Phillips's art is just like really gruesome and gory and gross. And that's alliteration, I believe. But yeah, it makes it work. And it could be really off-putting, but he manages to make it work and be fun. And also really bleak and just like, ugh, this is brutal. And feel hopeless and icky and all of those things. But I think that if there up until tonight, there's still a chance you can get, I think, all of those trades or single issues on sale for really cheap on Comixology. So if you want to check them out, and I've read all of them, but I just read one and two for this. I reread one and two for this. I think they're all fun. If you read the first one and like it, I mean, by all means, they just get like crazier and funnier and maybe funnier is not the right word, but they just keep getting more outlandish. And like the places the story has to go just keeps kind of getting wilder and more interesting, maybe. It's certainly like an interesting read. And it's especially funny to think that like Disney owns these comic books because they just seem so very not like something Disney would put out now. But yeah, so you can check those out if you like. And then I also, they had, what was it? The Monster of Frankenstein. They had that huge collection of that. It's like a $30 collection of that on sale on Comixology. I think it's still on sale. It was the last time I checked. It's like a $30 collection and it was only $3. And those comics aren't on Marvel Unlimited. So I went ahead and got that because I love all those old monster comics and a bunch of them. Of course you can read on Marvel Unlimited. All of this sounds like I'm just plugging Comixology and Marvel Unlimited, but I mean, I'm just telling you about things that I use and buy. So what can I do? That's a lot of fun. If you like stuff that is, those comics feel really intense. Like the art's great. And some of it's kind of, the stories are, may not be to your taste, but, because it's maybe like, cause they came out in the '70s and the writing may feel kind of old fashioned to you. But it's fun to me. And, at first it's basically just retelling the story of Frankenstein. But man, for like $3 and it's a $30 collection for $3, you can't go wrong on that. Even if you just look at the art, which, cause there's a ton of great art in there anyway, they're like a little wordy, I think, compared to modern comics. There's like a lot of narration and like caption boxes and stuff like that. But, they do feel really intense and you feel like a lot is happening. That sometimes in a way that you don't, I feel like in modern comics, like even though you'll read something that's taking place over a whole bunch of issues, but then it'll feel like not much actually happened. It's just kind of like, oh, this is still happening. Whereas in those older comics like that, it's just like one issue and you'll feel like 6 months have passed or something, you know, like just a ton of stuff has happened. But anyway, so that's some Halloween related reading I did recently for the show. And since those should still be on sale by the time this comes out, because I'm going to put it out as soon as I'm done recording it, you can go to Comixology and check those out. The other thing is nothing. There's nothing else. It's almost the end of the show, so let's take some Twitter questions. At Leesk asks, he's got a number of questions. All right, James. James asks, who are your favorite screen Draculas and who are your least favorite? Well, I guess my favorites would have to, let's see, who all has been Dracula on the screen? Obviously, number one has to be Bela Lugosi, and then I would do Christopher Lee. And then who after that? I like Gary Oldman as Dracula in Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. Who else? I like the Dracula in The Monster Squad. Okay. I like the guy in Dracula Untold. The movie didn't do very well, but I liked that movie. I thought that guy did a good job. I thought that movie was neat. Basically, like Dracula as a superhero, like a swords, Dracula is like a medieval, not quite medieval. I don't know when Dracula happened, like in the 1200s. But kind of like a, yeah, like a medieval superhero kind of. Well, I don't know what you call that time period whenever Dracula was supposed to happen. Was it the 1200s? Was it the 1700s? I have no idea. Where is Benito when I need him? So yeah, I like those guys. I can't think of any others off the top of my head. Who else has been Dracula? I can't think of any others just off the top of my head here on the spot with the microphone running. I did not care for Frank Langella as Dracula in, well, I was trying to, I can think of some that I didn't like, but I was trying to think of some more that I liked. I didn't like Frank Langella as Dracula in, what was it, in Dracula 1979? And Jack Palance was Dracula in something. I didn't care for him either. And both of, I think it's because both of those guys sort of seem too much like themselves. They don't feel like Dracula. They feel like, oh, there's those guys playing Dracula. Yeah, so I hope that answers your question. I'm sure there's probably some I'm forgetting. James also asks, what's the scariest movie you ever saw and would I see it again? I don't know. There's certainly movies that scared me when I was a kid. I remember, but you know, when I was old enough to not really be as scared by movies. I have like a crazy active, overactive imagination anyway, though, that will like, of course, I'll see a scary movie and not think anything of it, but then start thinking of it later when it's, when I'm alone in the dark or something, or when nobody's at home. And, then it suddenly becomes very creepy to me. Let's see. I was really scared of Silver Bullet when I was a kid. I saw a little bit of that when I was a kid and it terrified me. What else? So I went to a midnight screening of The Exorcist when they put it back in theaters, you know, for the whatever anniversary. And the theater was jam-packed. And I don't know if I ever told this story on the Gospel before, but the theater was jam-packed. And it was just like the room was just electric. You could feel everyone was anxious and excited and nervous. And people were straight up freaking out in the middle of the, you know, as the movie, before the movie even really got started, people were already kind of like, just everybody was ready to jump. And and then every time something kind of scary would happen, the entire audience would scream and then we'd all laugh. It was like, oh, all right, we're okay. It's just a scary movie. It's funny that we got scared. Okay. To try to like, disarm that nervous, scared energy. And then a girl like in the row behind me or like two rows behind me threw up and we probably weren't even like 30 minutes into the movie. But she threw up, and at that point, it was just like, okay, we're leaving. Let's get out of here. This was not meant to happen. So I left, and the people I was with, we left, and I've never seen the movie. So I feel like it was mostly because then it smelled like vomit so bad. But I will not deny that I was very like creeped out. I was very on edge with like nervous, like, oh, this feels creepy. And then I think the only thing recently was April and I tried to watch The Babadook one night, and I don't know what was going on, but I was just like, we were both very unsettled by it, and we're just like, let's just not watch this anymore. And I still haven't finished watching it. I think April finished watching it, but I still haven't. I was so creeped out about it. I had to go and read the Wikipedia synopsis to find out what happened to like calm myself down or something. I don't know. I don't know what was going on with us that night. Very, very, very nervous about that movie. Just very creeped out about it. To the point where I was just like even thinking about it for a couple of days after that, I was like, ooh, it's creeping me out. But now like it doesn't bother me at all, even though I haven't finished watching it. But like now I'm thinking about it now. Here I go, thinking about it. Yeah, it's not really scaring me. And I'm in this house alone with just like low lights and Lord, now I'm really going to scare myself. It's going to start popping out. Oh my gosh, I got to end this podcast and go turn some lights on. So yeah, let's not summon him. All right. James also asks, please rate/rank the Universal movie monsters. All right. Number one, Dracula. Number two, Frankenstein. Number three, this is just personal preference. Number three, but it's also correct. It's empirically correct. Dracula, Frankenstein. Number three, Wolfman. Number four, Creature from the Black Lagoon. Number five, The Mummy. Number six, The Metaluna Mutant. Oh, Bride of Frankenstein is like tied for second with Frankenstein. Or she's third. Or, no, I'll say she's fourth. Move everything. Wait. She doesn't really do much. That character is so great. But she doesn't really. The visual is so amazing, and like that movie is amazing. But she doesn't really do that much. Oh, I forgot about the Invisible Man. Shoot. Okay. Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, Invisible Man, Creature from the Black Lagoon, The Mummy. I left The Bride out again. Shoot. Maybe then Bride of Frankenstein, then The Metaluna Mutant, then who am I forgetting anyone? Phantom of the Opera or something? Did they do a Phantom? I'm thinking of like the Universal Monster Pops that I have. That sounds right. I don't know. It got iffy there after the first couple. James, don't put me on the spot like this. I need to have time to think about these answers when you're asking for the definitive rankings that will be used to settle all future court cases. At John Hex Lives asks, why is Jack Russell the only werewolf that can transform every night? Because that's what the plot needs. At Discord_Incorporated asks, what is the best horror movie series? Oh man, depends on what you're into. There's a lot of good ones out there. The Friday the 13th movies are pretty good because they basically just are what they are all the way through. They're kind of like schlock from the start. So the quality to me doesn't really dip because they're all basically just Jason's an unstoppable killing machine. You know, of course, I know what the twist on the first one is. I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen the first Friday the 13th, but Halloween is my favorite horror movie by far. But the rest of the Halloween movies, I like the second one, but it's not anywhere close to the quality of the first one. And I think the third one's better than the second one. And then all the others with Michael Myers, just kind of diminishing returns. The Nightmare on Elm Street series is great for like the kind of movie that it is. It's still a slasher movie, but it's completely different from, you know, from Jason or from Michael Myers. I like the Howling movies because I like werewolves. The Hellraiser series is at the very least very interesting. You know, it's got some wild ideas and does some weird, you know, really out there stuff. So I don't know. I guess it's just kind of about what you're into. The Scream series is good, I think. Man, I don't know. Maybe I'm forgetting one that's really great, but nothing is leaping to mind. So the best horror series. I don't know. The ones that I would say are probably like the most fun to just have on and watch, it'd probably have to be like the Nightmare series or Friday the 13th. So yeah, there you go. They do so much. They do so much, you know, wild creative things in the Nightmare series too. So there you go. At Coltreg asks, if you had to make out with a classic movie monster, who or what would you choose? Well, if I could pick whoever I want and they'd be into it, I'd have to go with the Bride of Frankenstein because I think that she's just, I mean, even as a monster, she's still just beautiful. All right. Owen Washington Hobbs asks, who is the best Ghostbuster and why is it Jillian Holtzman? I don't know why it is, but she certainly seems to be the best. she seems very into it. I think that's the thing. I do like, you know, I love all the original Ghostbusters too for different reasons. But, you know, I liked all of the new Ghostbusters as well. If you've listened to our the Ghostbusters episode of Keep It Close to Me, where we, Jess and I saw the new Ghostbusters. I really enjoyed all of them. I'm going to say it's an 8-way tie. They're all wonderful because I liked both of those movies and they were all a lot of fun for different reasons. Owen Washington Hobbs also asks, pumpkin bombs, dope or hella dope? Now, if you mean the pumpkin bombs like that the Green Goblin uses, those are pretty awesome. Green Goblin, Hobgoblin, assorted goblins use. Those are awesome. I feel like you're probably talking about something else, though, and I don't know what those are, so you're going to have to tell me. I assume they're great, though. You clearly have, like, if my two options are dope or hella dope, sounds like they're probably pretty cool, pretty neat. Is it a drink? Is it a baked good? I don't know. Is it something you put in the bathtub? Maybe it's one of those. I don't know. But you seem to be giving them a pretty high recommendation, so I'll go with that. At Daniel Feltz, a good friend Dan says, in Spider-Man The Short Halloween, a guy in a Spidey costume is mistaken for the actual superhero. Wouldn't this sort of thing happen each year in those worlds? How risky is it to dress as a superhero? I don't think it would be that risky, because the criminals would have to be pretty dumb to mistake somebody in a Spider-Man costume for actual Spider-Man, or especially when you got somebody like Iron Man or, you know, or Captain America or the Hulk. I feel like it would be pretty easy to discern the real thing. It's like Spider-Man, there's only a couple heroes that you could really, you know, that you would, could possibly get away with fooling someone on going like, oh, I think that's the real guy. You know, in my mind, the costumes that they have in those worlds for Halloween are still similar to the ones we have in our world that you could just go to Party City and buy or whatever. And the superheroes costumes, now I don't know how they get them made. I don't know how it works, but I assume that they are more like the ones, you know, like something you'd see in the movies where they look fancy, you know, like they look expensive, complicated, costume designed. So I think it would be hard to mistake the two, you know, so, but maybe not. That's how I would imagine it. Plus, I mean, if you see them just, if they're just walking around and not doing anything, like just in that world, if you put on a Spider-Man costume, you can't like climb up walls. So if you're in a Spider-Man costume and just walking down the street and it's Halloween, I don't think bad guys are going to be confused. I think they'd go like, oh, there's somebody in a costume, but it's also like, I mean, if those people are in those, like in those worlds, I don't know. I started to say like, that would be like you dressing up as, you know, people dressing up like real people here. And then I was like, oh, there was probably like so many Ken Bone Halloween costumes this year though. So people probably would still be dressing up like superheroes every year. But maybe it'd be like more just kids doing it. I don't know. It's hard to think about what to really think about what a world, a superhero world would be like. At SVA, aka Beardy, asked, what's your favorite cartoon Halloween episode or special? Oh my gosh. I really need, I need some time to think about that one. There's so many that I love. I'd probably have to do like one of the Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors. I've been rewatching those over the weekend, in preparation for Halloween. It'd probably be one of those if I had to pick. If I really had to, if you put a pumpkin bomb to my head and said you have to pick one, it'd probably be one of those. I don't know which one. I'd need to be looking at the list of them to decide which one. But several kind of immediately leap to mind. All right, and finally, at Lightning Armor asks, do you prefer the original Halloween or Rob Zombie's remake? How? That's not even a question. So I won't answer it, but I do thank you for the question. I can't say it's not a question and then say thank you for the question. I thank you for your input, but that's not even like close. Not even, I mean, that might as well not even be called the same thing. It's fine, whatever. If people like it, that's cool. But if they like it more than the original, they're wrong. So I hope that everyone out there, I hope that I've set the record straight on this and many other things today. I hope you guys have enjoyed this. Happy Halloween, everybody. I love you guys. Thank you for listening to the show. To everyone who has supported the show on Patreon, I cannot thank you enough. Even if it's just the people that were retweeting about the show or contributing, any of that stuff, can't thank you enough. Thank you so much. Super cool of you guys. I hope you have a good Halloween. And it's been fun. And I'll leave you with this.
The night is still young. Enjoy yourselves. Have a frightful time, and I shall see you all tomorrow. Well, I leave you now in the capable hands of little Tibia and the Fibia.
Mr. Mommy! Mr. Mommy!
They're playing your song, honey. Let's dance.